Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai, Rupa Goswami Pad Ki Jai. So we're continuing discussing the basic principles of devotion from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division, Chapter 2, Verse 157. Astava Pataha Prokta Manishibir Gita Stava Rajadaya Stava. This is the 36th principle of devotion. It says, reciting compositions in praise of the Lord. Gita stava rajadaya stava. Gita and stava. It says, the wise consider that the Gita and the Stavaraj contained in the Gautamiya Tantra are examples of stavas. Of course, Rupa Goswami is speaking this verse. He's saying that Gita means Bhagavad Gita, that these are, we can recite verses from Bhagavad Gita, and many people do this. Many devotees, they regularly read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day as a form of practice, of devotional practice, or they read Gopal Sahasranam, Radha Sahasranam, Vishnu Sahasranam. Rupa Goswami is himself, of course, he wrote Stava Mala, which is a mala or a group of prayers and praise of Radha and Krishna. And Jiva Goswami, the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, is called Stava because it glorifies the Supreme Lord. And then it says it's Stava Raj. The king of all stavas is the Gautamiya Tantra, which I'm not familiar with. I've seen quotations from it. But apparently, Gautamiya Tantra, one particular Vedic literature, is full of different verses, Sanskrit verses, to glorify the Supreme Lord. And this is a citation from, the next is 158 from Skand Puran. Shri Krishna Stavaratno Gyar Yesham Jiva Alankrita Namasya Muni Siddhanam Varaniya Divokasam. The perfected sages and the devatas respect those whose tongues are ornamented with the abundance of jewel-like verses of praise of Krishna. So this practice is so much appreciated, the practice of glorifying the Lord, that even the higher beings, the celestial beings in the higher planets, they very much appreciate the human beings for this quality. Otherwise, there's not really much to be appreciated about the human society. And the heavenly planets, their physical bodies are more beautiful. Their bodies smell like lotuses. Their fragrance of the body, the sight of their bodies, everything is much more attractive. But there's something, like Chanakya Pandit says, in Niti Shastra, knowledge makes an ugly person becomes an ugly person becomes beautiful by knowledge, and I said an ugly woman becomes beautiful by shyness. That's a beauty, shyness. She may be physically ugly, but shyness is an attractive quality. So the higher beings, the devatas, they appreciate the human society if their tongues are decorated with stava. Stavaraj, if their tongues are decorated with verses glorifying the Supreme Lord, because the devatas are also suras, or they're also worshippers of the Lord, and so they respect the human being if he's glorifying the Lord, if his tongue is used to glorify the Lord. Ordinarily, human society are wrapped up in all mundane activities that are of no interest or attraction for the celestial devatas. And their tongues are always engaged in discussing gramya katha, village talk, family talk, relative programs. So when a human being turns his mind towards God and starts reciting verses, then the celestials take notice. Acha, these human beings are glorifying the Lord, then they take notice. And if they take notice, then they think about us. So we gain their favor also. And also the perfected sages, the munis, they're also perfected sages, of course. This means liberated souls that are living either on this planet or in the higher realms. Perfected sages live here Oftentimes they live in Himalayas, and or they live in Siddhaloka or in Tapaloka. So that goes pretty far up there. Because the devatas may be only in Swarga, but above Swarga there's Ombudvavaswa, then there's Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, and Satyalok. The perfected sages, they live on Tapalok, which is one of the highest planets in the material universe. So way up there, the great sages on Tapaloka, if someone down here in this middle planetary system in Bhuloka, so far removed, there are seven planetary systems above the Earth. So these higher beings, if they hear us chanting Gopal Sahasranam or Radha Sahasranam, or Radha Kripa Kataksha, or Krishna Kripa Kataksha, or some prayers or astakams, Yugal Kishore Astakam, the astakams of the six Goswamis, they hear us. These are stavas and stutis. Goswami Astakam, if they hear us chanting these prayers, then they become very happy, and they offer respect. Vadaninam, Muni Siranam Vadanya Divokasam. Then he says, Stotre stavescha deva agre yastoti madhusudanam sarva papa vinirmukto vishnu lokam avapnuyat. Actually, I had one entry from this edition. This is a verse from the Nisringa Puran. This is telling here that in the Nisringa Puran, it is said that whoever sings prayers and praises of Lord Madhusudan with stotras and stavas, while standing before the Archavigraha of the Lord in the temple, what happens to him? He becomes free from all sins and attains the realm of Vishnu. So this is another one of the 64 limbs of devotion. And it's number 37. Another translation here says that. Same thing it says here. So all of these limbs of devotion, all these activities, offering prayers, standing up to greet the Lord, and offering obeisances to the Lord, they're very pleasing to Krishna or Vishnu. He becomes very happy with these activities. And reciprocating with the devotee, he blesses them. He gives them perfection. He gives them Silokya Mukti or some type of Mukti, if that's what they want. Of course, when we engage in chanting stotrams and stutis or ashtakams. There's many ashtakams in Gaudiya Sampradaya. Yamun ashtakam, Vrindadevi ashtakam, Govardhan ashtakam. Many ashtakams have been given to us by Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Vishnu Chakravartipad. And these ashtakams, of course, are meant, we chant these ashtakams, or we sing these ashtakams for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, our Ishtadev. And we are not aspiring for any fruit from our endeavor. We are simply doing this as service because they like to hear their glories, Uttama Shloka Krishna. And by doing that, then we hope to attain their service, their eternal service. This is service, but we hope that by will become purified by chanting these astakams, attract their attention, they'll bless us with their eternal service. And the authors of these astakams, Rupa Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, etc., Jiva, at the end of every astakam, there's a ninth verse, and the ninth verse is the Shruti Phal. The Shruti Phal, this or phal shruti, phal means fruit. This is the verse that describes the fruit or the benefit, the result that one gains by chanting these astakams. And none of them are about liberation. Maybe prayers, other prayers, Vishnu Sahasranam, other prayers that are glorified in different Gautamiya Tantra and other shastras, they say if you chant this, you get liberation. But all these shruti phals are all about, if anyone chants this prayer with great sincerity every day, then he will definitely very soon attain the eternal service of Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. Or he will have darshan of Radharani with Krishna. So it's all about seeing the Lord, receiving darshan, or attaining their eternal service, but nothing about mukti. Because mukti is, we have no concern for mukti in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. This is Prem Dharma, Prem Nam Sankirtan. And our only ambition and goal, our prayojana, is Prem Seva. Prem Seva Radhan Krishna or Krishna Balaram, depending on our orientation in terms of Stahi Bhav. So therefore the prayers that we sing are all directed in this way. Jiva Goswami explains that there's, because we hear these words, stotra, stava, astakams. So he said there's no difference, essential difference between the word stotra and stava. Yet a difference must be acknowledged insofar as stotra means hymns composed by some predecessor in praise of the Lord. So these are some poems or hymns, someone in parampara has composed in praise of the Lord. Well, a stava is one that is a spontaneous outpouring of the worshipper himself. So it sounds as if stotras are pre-existing. Stotras are standard prayers, like the astakams I mentioned. These are comes under the category of stotra, and they're existing, and we repeat them because we may not know Sanskrit so well. We can't compose our own stotrams. Well, but stava is an outpouring. It's an outpouring from the heart, and of course, it requires a heart first of all, a heart that's purified by devotion and filled with realization of the tattva and position of the Lord. So stava is told here is a spontaneous outpouring of the worshipper himself. In other words, stotra is a hymn that is someone else's composition that one reads for the pleasure of the Lord. While a stava is one's own outpouring of feelings of the heart. Despite this description, however, in the text both Gita and Stavaraj have been described as stava, because no other suitable means of evoking one's spontaneous feelings is available. So there's some discussion in this purport, is that there's different ideas. Because Mukunda Das Goswami, a famous commentator on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he makes a different idea. So we have to see what is a synthesis here. So then he quotes from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. So Krishna is advising Uddhava by saying, a devotee shall seek my delight and pleasure by reading good, bad, and indifferent stavas mentioned in the Puranas, and also by offering prayers by stotras of his own heart's composition, and should prostrate himself at the innermost door of my temple with the prayer, quote, my Lord, mayest thou be pleased. It's quite old English. So here, there's an opposite meaning given. Krishna is telling that a stotra is your own composition. Let's see the synthesis. In other words, either we repeat prayers of the great acharyas in our lineage, in our sajati, our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, this is recommended, or we speak from our own heart. This is the substance of prayers from our, and where this is the what they should be and where we should recite these in the temple in front of our Lord. And then even Krishna is telling the prayer, and the basic prayer is, my Lord, be pleased. Oh, my Lord, will you be pleased with this recitation of this stotra or stava or whatever it is, whatever it may be, whether it's stotra or stava. The bottom line is, may you be pleased by this recitation. And that's the heart, that's the position of the heart, the backing of the offering. So on Nectar, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about offering food. But it's not the food that you offer that counts, although that's important. It should be pure and sattvic. But the important ingredient of that food, the important element, is the devotion, bhakti parachiti. The bhakti must be thick, condensed. Every item that you're offering must be saturated with bhakti. Then it's acceptable to the Lord. Just like sabji, if you have some sabji, and then you just put a little bit of salt on the particular part that you're offering to the Lord, that's nice, but then the rest of it has no salt. The salt should be spread throughout the whole sabji, everywhere. The whole pot has salt in it because it's cooked with salt. So the entire offering should be saturated with our devotion. So this is a principle, and the six Goswamis themselves, not only did they write these type of astakams, which would come under the category of stotram or stava or whatever they are. I guess stava is because Rupa Goswami's prayers are called the stavamala. And this prayer to Radharani, which is one of the most popular prayers in Vrindavan, is called Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. Stavaraj, it's the king of all stavas. And glorification of Radharani. Munindra Vrindabandate Chiloka Shokaharani Prasana Vakchapankaje Nikunjabu Vilasani Brajendubana Nandani Brajana Sundar Sangate Kada Kurushyasiyamam Kripa Katakshabhajanam. It's a series of 11 or 12 verses where we're praying to Srimati Radharani that she'll bestow upon us her sidelong glance of mercy. Radha Kripa Kataksha. So, this is a very pleasing practice to the Lord. And besides writing astakams, the six Goswamis were regularly showing the example. They were the exemplars for sadhana bhakti because they had their sadhaka form and they had their siddha form, siddha rup and sadhaka rup. Sadhaka rup is Rupa Goswami and siddha rup is Sri Rupa Manjari. So in Vayavas, in external consciousness or external activity, Rupa Goswami was behaving in a particular way. And Antar Das, in his meditating on his spiritual form and entering into the Leela of the Lord, then he would enter in his female form as a Sakhi Manjari of Radharani, a Pran Sakhi, Sri Rupa Manjari, and render particular services, which he also describes. But at least in his Sadhaka Rup, we can try at least until we're at the level of Bhava or Asakti. Before that, we can follow Anusaran, we can follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami's sadhaka rup. And the activities that the six Goswamis performed in their sadhaka rup is explained by Srinivasacharya in his famous Ashtakam, glorifying the six Goswamis, Sad Goswami Ashtakam. Srila Prabhupada once told some sannyasis, after giving them initiation, he said, if you want to know what it means to be sannyas, then chant this prayer every day. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premam ritambo nidhi dira dira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito Sri Chaitanya kripa baro bhuvi bhava Bhava Hantarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. That's the first prayer, but Prabhupada was indicating we should chant all the prayers in this Ashtakam. So when one comes to the sixth prayer of this Ashtakam, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natabi Kalava Sannikrito Nidra hara vihara kari vijato chatyanta dino chayo Radha Krishna gona smriter madhuri ma nandena mataliko Vande rupa sanatana raguyago Sri jiva gopalako Sankhya purvaka nama gana natabi. This line, Srinivas Acharya is glorifying the sadhana, the bhakti abhyas, or the sadhana abhyas, the daily activities that the six Goswamis were engaging in. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. Sankhya Purvaka Nam. Purvaka means beginning. Firstly, Purvaka, firstly or primarily, Sankhya Nam. Sankhya Purvaka Nam. The first activity of their day, they would rise at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3, sometimes earlier, and they would perform achman and apply tilak. water Tulsi, sit down next to Tulsi, next to their Govardhan Shila, if they had one, or Shalagram. And they would chant one lakh of rounds from 3 o'clock until 7 a.m. Sankhya Puravaka Nam. Gana Natibi. Sankhya Puravaka Gana. And Gana means, then after chanting one lakh of Nam, then they would recite so many Gan. Gan means songs. It means songs, astakams, prayers, stotrams, stutis. Sankhya Puravaka Gana, Nama Gana Natibi. Then, after concluding that from 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 until 7 or 8, then they would begin their Natibi. Natibi. The word Natibi means humility. Means humility, and it also means offering obeisances. So they go together, expressing their humility and remembering the great acharyas in their line, in the parivar, in the parampara. They would invoke the name of that great devotee. They would recite the name of that great devotee, and then probably in his Vrindavan Roop and his not Mayapur Roop. So they would say, for example, Rupa Goswami would say, Mukundadas Brindadevi ki. Because Mukundadas in Gaur Leela is Brindadevi in Krishna Leela, a dual identity. Just like Rupa Goswami, Rupa Mandri, Sanatan Goswami, Labanga Mandri, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rati Mandri. So they would recite the name of that great Vaishnava, Srupa Damodar Goswami Lalita Sakhi Ki. Then they would offer dandabats, Sankhya Purvaka Dama, Gana Natibi. So Natibi means offering dandabats. And in some cases they were offering dandabat parikrama of Radhakund. Although when we inquired from the Mahant here at Radhakund whether or not Raghunath Das Goswami, we actually personally asked him several years ago when we were compiling one book, Radhakund Mahima Madhuri. And we said, is there any confirmation or any biographical information or confirmation of the fact that Raghunath Das Goswami was offering dandabat parikrama of Radhakund? Because it's not the tradition of the Gaudiyas, it's not the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavas to offer dandabat parikrama of Giriraj. The Nimbarkis do it. Nimbarkis do it, and the general class of Giriraj worshippers, because a large part of this northwestern India, they're very devout worshippers of Govardhan, especially Rajasthan. Rajasthanis, their deity is Giridhari Gopal. Gopal and Giridhari. In the house is Gopal, because Giridhari can't fit inside. Giridhari is 14 kilometers long. And Gopal is a little boy with a laddu in his hand, and he comes in all sizes, comfortable sizes you can place in your home and offer your bhog to him. So Giridhari Gopal, but whenever they get a chance, they come for darshan or to do dandavats or parikrama of Govardhan. He is the major deity. So they have great love for Giriraj, Govardhan Nath. So I asked this question, and because there was some discussion, and he says, I don't see any conclusive evidence that he was offering dandavat parikrama. He was offering so many dandavats in front of his kuti, but he could not confirm that he was offering. But our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he said in one lecture, he said, it's on folio, you can also see, it's recorded in my book also. He said, living at Radhakund means living like Raghunath, living at Radhakund means living like Raghunath Das Goswami. He was offering obeisances and lying on the ground and going around. He was going around Radhakund, lying on the ground, offering so many obeisances. So lying on the ground, going around Radhakund, offering so many obeisances is another way of saying he was doing dandabat parikrama of Radhakund. It seems to me, at least. He was lying on the ground, going around Radhakund, lying on the ground, offering so many obeisances. Not lying on the ground in front of his kuti. So the language is such, the English is quite clear that he's going around Radhakund, which means parikrama. So taking that, I developed a theme which I presented there, that it seems to be approved, at least from our Guru Maharaj, that offering of dandavat parikrama of Radhakund. At least the principal offering, Dandavats, is very much part and parcel of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Raghunath Das Goswami definitely did that. It's described that there's different descriptions, but generally it's described he's offering something like 2,000 or 3,000 Dandavats every day in front of his kuti. 2,000 to Vaishnavas and 1,000 to various Thakurs and Leela Mortis, Mortis of Radha and Krishna, particular Leela Stalis. Radha Kunja Vihari Ki, then like this, and Radha Damodar Ki, and Radha Julan Vihari Ki, and all these type of, you know, all these different forms and names of the Lord, and remembering them, and then offering Dandavats. So these are the activities. So the six Goswamis, they themselves, they offered stutis and stavas every day, and they wrote them for our benefit. We can recite theirs. And so this is what Rupa Goswami is telling us here as the 36th limb of devotion, to offer prayers and stavas. Come before the Lord and don't be mum. Come before the Lord and tell your friend, oh, Radharani looks so beautiful today. Acha. Okay, that's nice. And that's all right to describe, and that's a way of glorifying. That's your own words, you're glorifying Radharani. Radha Govinda looks so beautiful today. Radharani looks so beautiful dressed up in her Gopa Vesh and Subal Vesh. We can see her beautiful lotus feet and like this. But they themselves, they're writing about and citing Nisringa Purana and Gotamiya Tantra, and so many prayers are there in the Shastras for us to recite. And the Lord is pleased, as it's interesting because Krishna is so compassionate. It's kind of, he's pleased and more pleased and most pleased. So he's pleased with any prayer from your heart. But he's more pleased if you recite prayers by the great Acharyas. And he's most pleased with the prayers that Radharani speaks, because she's the greatest devotee. So if we can find the prayers that Radharani speaks, then we can please the Lord the most. So what prayers does Radharani speak? What are the prayers that Radharani offers to Krishna? The prayers that Radharani offers to Krishna are the prayers that are given by Rupa Goswami, because he is the heart of Radharani. Sri Rupa. Sri means Radharani, and Rupa means the form of her heart. So the heart of Radharani is Rupa Goswami's heart. And when Radharani appeared in a combined form with Krishna as Mahaprabhu, then Rupa Goswami became the form of Mahaprabhu's heart. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam. So the Manobishtam means the heart. The heart's desire of Mahaprabhu was infused into the heart of Rupa Goswami with a loving embrace, Shaktyavesh Alingata. Shaktyavesh Alingata, Alingata in Benares. When Lord Chaitanya embraced him, heart to heart, mind to mind, and enthused or filled Rupa Goswami with all of his desires and intentions. So, Rupa Raghunatha Padi Hoi Biakuti, to be eager to follow in the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath. The more we're eager and the more we follow, the more perfection, the sooner we'll attain perfection in Bhakti Bhajan. So if we haven't adopted the process yet of offering stavas and stutis to the Lord and astakams as a daily practice, then we should begin. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibi. This was their daily bhajan, daily Sankhya Nam. Sankhya, what does Sankhya Nam, Sankhya mean? Sankhya means number. Sankhya means counting. So they counted, not all one round, two rounds, fixed rounds every day, Sankhya. And fixed Sankhya means Sankhya Nam, Sankhya Gan, Sankhya Natibi. Fixed number of rounds, every day 64 rounds. Every day so many astakams, 10 astakams or 20 or whatever. Or every day, like you see the Brahmins, you see many examples of these practices, especially when you live in Brajadam. You'll see many examples of those that are very attached to Archan, those that are very attached to Nam, those that are very attached to Kirtan, those that are very attached to Stavas. Many of our Panditjis or Pandas at the Kund, they're very attached to Stavas and Stutis. And all day they'll chant so many times, they'll chant Gopal Sahasranam. So they it's a nice example. So not that, so we generally always have our beads all day, everywhere, wherever we are, we're chanting, oh, here's some free time, let me chant an extra round. I know businessmen, they're in the office and they have one of these machine type things, some, you know, click, click thing. And they keep in their desk, as it looks like a paperweight or some office thing at some counter. And then there's no appointments and they have some free time, they open their drawer and they stick in their hand. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And they press the button. Then the secretary comes in, oh, so-and-so is here to see you. Okay, open the drawer, put it, yes, yes, come in. So they're always turning to the holy name, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So this is some point to consider to add to our bhajan. There's so many beautiful astakams. And the if nothing else, we can recite them because to entice us or to encourage us to recite these astakams. Rupa Goswami and Krishnas and Raghunath Das, they've given so many wonderful blessings and benedictions at the end that they're irresistible. Just to get those benefits, you want to take part in those prayers. Even if the benefits come next life or life after next life or any life, it's certainly worth it. Anyone who chants this stotram with a heart filled with devotion, it's guaranteed that very soon he'll have Sakshat Darshan of Yugal Kishore on the banks of Radhakund. So if not tomorrow, if not next week, and maybe 5 years from now, or even next life, that's fine. I mean, if Mukunda, who is it, was willing to wait 1,000,000 years or something to see Lord Chaitanya? Mukunda Datta was going here and there associating, he's like a chameleon philosopher, he changes color according to the paint job on the wall. If it's a blue wall, the lizard becomes blue. If it's a green wall, he takes on a green shade. So Mukunda, he was going here with some Advaitins, and then he would adopt the Advaitin viewpoint with them, and then he would go with some followers of Yoga Vashishta, then he would adopt their viewpoint. Then he would come with the Gaudiya Vaishnavas with Garanga, and he said, yes, yes, Radha Krishna Bhajan, you know, this, that. So then Lord Chaitanya heard that he wasn't very fixed in his philosophical outlook. He was a little bit what we call eclectic and not convinced or not. And it was a Leela, obviously it's Leela because he's eternal associate of the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya said, listen, this Mukunda, he's not fixed, he's not nishta. Darshan nishta. He's not fixed in his philosophy. Tell him to get lost and don't come here anymore. I don't want to see him. I will grant him my darshan in 1,000,000 years. So they said, Mukunda, you go from here. Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to see you for 1,000,000 years or lifetimes or something. Then he said, oh, only 1,000,000 years. And he started dancing, kicking his heels. Great, Gauranga, Gauranga. I will see him after 1,000,000 years. Not so bad. Not a bad proposal. There's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So at the end of 1,000,000 years, I will see Gauranga. It's worth it. So Mukunda had such patience and such attachment to that golden Lord that he's willing to wait 1,000,000 years again to have his darshan. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that patience and tolerance and that sense of humor in one sense of Mukunda, he said, call Mukunda. So Mukunda came, and Lord Chaitanya, Mukunda paid obeisances, and Gauranga put his foot on his head, and he said, you just stay with me and don't wander all over the place. So then Mukunda stopped his wandering and stopped changing his color.